Good morning. Dave, thank you both for the song and stuff. I appreciate that. It helps just, especially the reminder that this is not where it's all going to be joy. It's the next spot going to be joy. It will be, you know, turmoil until the end and stuff. Speaking of turmoil, I did have that knee surgery, so they brought me a chair to use, and I will take advantage of that. Let's open a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come together as a family and to worship you. Lord, thank you for the privilege of sharing what you have put in my heart with the masses here. Please let me bring you glory through it. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So a week and a half ago, I got a call from Mike Coyne saying, hey, Bruce got the COVID. Can you cover for him? And, you know, trying to be the helpful guy I am. Like, sure. And I quickly thought about it after I got the phone with him, like, I don't have anything for Sunday. But then I get a call back, and Ken's like, don't talk about Jeremiah 29:11. It's like, okay, that man's got a message already. How about you cover for me, and I'll get it next week. And he did, so that's why I had Ken last week, and that gave me time to think about it. And sure enough, I had a message, and I was like, okay, and I just been thinking about it all week, kind of formulating all this drive around town and stuff, and yesterday I go to put it together, and as I put it all together, I'm realizing I got way too much material for one day. So this is the prequel to the sermon on endurance, the foundation. Okay, before you can endure, you need to be equipped, and so I'm going to focus on equipping you to endure. So there will be no revelation today. Blank slide. I did. Okay. So, usually I bring expository preaching, meaning I'll read through a chapter or a series of verses to keep them in order to keep them in context. We want to read the Bible the way it's meant to be read, as in what the authors were saying at the time, not just take one verse and try to make a saying out of it and stuff. And to maintain the context, I briefly summarize all the chapters before it, as well as provide a little background of the book as a whole. And as we've seen before, that does tend to run a little long. So in the future, I'll try to stick to chapters with single digits when I do that. But today, I'm going to bring you a topical message. I'm going to discuss a particular topic that is addressed in the Bible, which, when you think about it, every topic is addressed in the Bible. Topical preaching uses several verses throughout the Bible, making it hard to follow along for you. While still taking time to open God's Word, you know, stuff. So I do have some slides to help you with that there. So the biggest danger is it also presents opportunity to exegete the text, which means to take it out of context just to claim it's supporting my point and everything. So the best way to avoid that is to go over every chapter or every verse that I use to be sure we're using the right context. But there's not enough time allotted for that either. So I encourage you to take notes on the verses I share in order to review them later. And if you're uncertain on whether I'm preaching rightly, just check with Carlton after I'm done. I trust him to keep me accountable to catch the mistakes I made. I don't know if you've read or watched or listened to the news lately, but if you have, you probably regretted doing so. I'm subscribed to about almost 24 podcasts that I listen to throughout the weeks as I'm driving around the panhandle, and even more during the 6 weeks as I lay in bed healing from my knee surgery. My secret to consuming so much information is by listening to them at 2.3 times normal speed. Though I do slow them down to 1.7 when I really want to focus on what they're saying. While the subject matters in the news and commentaries vary, I see recurring issues that pop up across the spectrum that tie together regarding the state of the world and the state of our country. Canada has outlawed conversion therapy, and therefore conversion, while criminalizing speech against LGBTQVWXYZ. Marxism leads our educational institutions and has a growing foothold in our governments. Public schools are providing gender identity materials to children starting at kindergarten. As the 77th International Holocaust Remembrance Day just passed us, we find anti-Semitism growing exponentially among our younger generations. 17%, that's 1 in 6 of Holocaust-related content on TikTok, either denies or distorts the Holocaust. According to Open Doors USA, 1 out of 8 believers worldwide live in a place where they cannot safely declare or practice their faith in public. And as the 49th anniversary of Roe versus Wade just passed, New Jersey just approved abortion up to the moment of birth. If the child still has a foot instead of the mother, they can legally kill the baby. With over 63 abortions and counting, that's 19% of our nation's population. America has solidified itself as a leader among Babylon, Aztec, Canaan, Maya, Inca, Celts, and other pagan nations that routinely practice child sacrifice, at least until God destroyed them. George Grant, pioneer of the pro-life movement, said in a recent interview, "The primary challenge of our day is not political. The primary battle still remains the church and the culture. Judgment begins with the house of God." Now, let me stop right there. Did anyone else notice that the hardest buildings hit in Panama City from Hurricane Michael were the churches? Our culture is in the mess that it is in because of our church is in the mess it is in. The lack of courage and lack of leadership that we see on the national scene is a reflection of the lack of courage and lack of leadership in the church. The battle begins at the pulpit, and the battle proceeds through congregations that are raised up. We should keep these truths in mind once we start interviewing new potential pastors. The reason there is a lack of courage and a lack of leadership in the church is because the church as a whole does not take the word of God seriously. If we did, we would be in it night and day. If we believed it to be the bread of life, we would consume it daily to stay spiritually fed. We would all be biblical scholars. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that the scriptures are given to us by the inspiration of the God Most High? Many people say they believe in God, but very few truly believe God. Believing in God and believing God are two very different things. In Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 8, he tells us, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Ken rightly pointed out last week that God has a plan for you, but God is not going to force it on you. You are free to choose, but you're not free to choose the consequences of your choices. It is not God's will that any should perish. Nonetheless, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for those who choose not to know him. Have you ever heard of the New England Primer? Some will call it primer. It was the first reading primer designed for the American colonies. The 90-page work contained religious maxims, alphabetical assistance, catechism answers, and moral lessons. Many of its selections were drawn from the King James Bible and embodied the dominant Puritan attitude and worldview of the day. Among the topics discussed are respect to parental figures, sin, and salvation. It was the source of the well-known children's prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before thy wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take." That's right. The Bible provided the inspiration for many of the rhymes that were used to learn the letters of the alphabet, such as, check out R, S, and T here. "Rachel doth mourn for her firstborn. Samuel anoints who God appoints. Time cuts down all, both great and small. It includes the catechism. Catechism answers. The inclusion of catechism answers meant that you could ask any child, what is the chief end of man? And they could easily answer you. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Most adults these days have no idea how to answer that basic question. Some suppose the answer is blown in the wind and can never be known. It helped children learn to read for 100 years, from 1690 to 1790, at which time it was supplanted by Noah Webster's Blueback Speller, which had a more secular focus on Republican principles such as American civil and ecclesiastical constitutions. Some of the founding fathers, all of which were raised on primer, would argue that the loss of the primer was the beginning of the slippery slope of dumbing down our nation that we now find ourselves rapidly moving along. If they only knew. Psalm 119 is the biggest chapter in the Bible with 176 verses, because there are 8 verses for each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew language. Psalm 119 is the Hebrew primer that Hebrew children used to learn their alphabet. These verses lay the foundation for how those that belong to God ought to live. Let's look at the second letter, Beth, which translates in English to be. Beth, verse 9 here, Beth, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Young men, do you take heed to God's holy word in order to keep your ways clean? Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. If you are not in the word daily, you are literally wandering away from his commandments, and certainly not seeking him with your whole heart. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. A couple years ago, I watched The Princess Bride for the first time in over 30 years. And I was caught off guard to realize how many lines from that one movie were part of my repertoire of witty things I would say at various conversations. You know, things I thought I made up myself, but had been printed to me back when I was 10, 11, or whatever. Have you consumed so much of the scriptures that they are hidden in your heart, that they flow out of you as an initial response that you forgot where the thought originated from? That you just instinctively responded rightly to a situation so that you avoided sinning in the moment? Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. The Lord is ready to teach you. All you must do is start reading the statutes. Verse 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Have you read all of God's word out loud yet? Every new king of Israel was required to write down their own copy of the law. Have you transcribed the Bible yet? Put those things on the top of your bucket list. 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as all in all riches. Do you value sharing the gospel as much as any earthly treasure? As a traveling salesman, I occasionally close the same day I meet someone and make a nice commission. And there is a temporary thrill when I receive notification that someone signed a contract that I sent them a few days or weeks or even months ago. But sometimes, I don't have to run off to another appointment. And I've hit it off well with the person I just met. And I see an opportunity to talk about eternity. And I take it. And they listen. And they're grateful that I care enough about their soul to challenge them to make sure they have a right relationship with God. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is worth rejoicing over. That makes for a great day. That is the best part of my job. The second best part is getting to cuddle with other people's dogs and cats. It's very therapeutic. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Don't just read God's laws, meditate on them. Respect them enough to follow them in every situation. Put the word into action. John Stone Street once said, religious faith without religious practice is meaningless. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. There is a delight found in keeping God's laws and doing the right thing at the right time and memorizing His holy word. When you have a daily routine of consuming the word, there will be days when you find yourself in a conversation that directly relates to something you read that very morning and comply to the conversation. And whoever you're talking with will think you are some great Bible guru, and it'll be you and God's little secret, and you will delight in the moment because you remember God's word and you will feel so smart. It's really fun. C.S. Lewis, a renowned author of the 20th century, once said, "Unless the religious claims of the Bible are again acknowledged, its literary claims will, I think, be given only mouth honor, and that decreasingly." There's another prophet here. Ladies and gentlemen, you can visit many books, but you need to live in the Bible. The world no longer knows the prophecies of the end times, or the miracles of Christ, or the heroes of the faith, or the kings of old, or the descendants of Israel, or even Adam and Eve. They don't know Adam and Eve, people. The reason they are not familiar with its literary claims is because we are not familiar with its literary claims, because we stop acknowledging its religious claims to the lost and dying world. We are asleep at the wheel. One more line from George Grant. "The truth is our ally. We need to know the truth to be able to speak the truth in love." God's word is truth. If you want to always be right, then know the word of God inside and out. There are many things I think are true, but the word of God is the only thing I know is true. And when the word of God is applied rightly to your life, you will be able to lovingly apply it to others. Saturate your mind with the word. Randy Alcorn wrote in Pro-Life Answers to Pro-Choice Arguments, "Do your homework. The other position can afford to be ignorant of the facts. You cannot. The other position is dependent on diverting attention away from the central facts. Yours is dependent on drawing attention to them. And to do so, you must know what you are talking about." The world has entered a full-fledged revolt against the very nature of truth. It has gotten so bad they can't even define the word woman anymore. On the plus side, it's never been easier to stand up for what is true, for what is right. Boy's a boy, a girl's a girl. These emperors have no clothes on, people. You just need to be brave enough to tell them. And you need to be sure of your foundation and the word before doing so. We must hold a high regard for scriptures in order to develop a high regard for God. The world will not take the word of God seriously if we do not. So let's look at one. Now, the other gentlemen have been covering the top 10 verses of the Bible. Now, this is not a top 10 verse of the Bible, but it is a top 10 verse of Psalms. Found in 119. It's the first verse of the letter Nun, which roughly translates to N. I know y'all know it because it's a well-known song lyric. I want you to sing it with me. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Very good. I know you know it. But does anybody know the next line? The next line. In the psalm, 106. Oh, and the song, okay. Well played, Gail. Well played. The next one's got more of a marching theme. "I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments." If you're not familiar with that tune, it's mostly because I made it up myself. Verse 105 highlights something that God is doing for us. We love it when God does stuff for us. But verse 106 reflects the commitment that we are to make in response to the path that God is showing us. Verse 106 bears a heaviness to it because it is the responsibility placed on us, which is probably why it is not as well known as verse 105. In the context of all 8 verses of Nun, we see that most of them focus on our responsibility, which is probably why they are not as well known as verse 105. 107, "I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word." 108, "Except, I beseech thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. 109, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I err not from thy precepts. 111, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. 112, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even until the end. Until the end, people. Retirement is not in the Hebrew language. Let the world search for seashells and other trinkets to expand their collections that have no eternal value. You search for lost souls to expand the kingdom of heaven. Let the world make much ado about celebrities and singers and sports teams. You make much of Christ. You make much of his word. Let the world be about Facebook updates and getting into online arguments that lead to division. You be about the Father's business, getting to work wherever you see him working, wherever he leads you. Let the world use the talents and gifts that God gave them to gain wealth and power and fame. You use the talents and gifts God gave you to bring him glory and enjoy him forever. Join me in prayer. Lord, we communicate with you through prayer, and the primary way you communicate with us, according to your word, is through your holy word. Give us all a heart to desire to fellowship with you daily. Give us a joy in hearing what you have to say to us through your word, day and night. In all eternity of mankind, in all the entirety of mankind, you have never made it easier than now for us to have access to your word. We are without excuse if we do not use this opportunity you provided to get to know you more, so that we can make you known to others. I pray this in the name of the word that was with God and the word that was God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
Stephanie pointed out that this is the fifth Sunday. And as is our custom, which I'd forgotten about, I must admit, we have a time of